You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Criminal markets offer ransomware as a service under the guise of education. The UK's NHS and Licking County, Ohio deal with separate ransomware accounts. The Slammer Worm attempted a comeback after 14 years, so patch those known vulnerabilities. Crooks scam slot machines, possibly by defeating their pseudo-random number generator. Norway tracks Fancy Bear. Russia says the FSB officers charged with treason gave info to the Americans, but not necessarily the CIA. And GCHQ says security companies are peddling witchcraft. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, February 6th, 2017. We've been following the evolution of criminal markets for some time now. The black market has seen customer service portals, even reviews on the criminal equivalent of Yelp, Ripper.cc. In these cases, the bad actors make little pretense about being, well, bad. But that's not always the case. Some of the bad actors pose as legitimate or at least gray market services. Radware has discovered a new ransomware as a service portal on the dark web. This one is called Ranyon, and it cloaks its crooked shame behind a fig leaf inscribed, "For educational purposes only." You'd be unwise to take it at face value. The portal looks much more like a standard straight-up black market money-making operation. You can subscribe for 0.95 Bitcoin annually, that's about $960, or if you're not quite as all-in as that, you can get 6 months for just 0.6 Bitcoin, about $600, presumably if you act now. A word to the wise, there are a lot of legitimate security businesses that will teach you everything you need to know about ransomware without requiring you to dump hundreds of dollars into a dodgy dark web portal. Ransomware, of course, remains a threat, with medical services and local governments particularly hard hit. Several national health trusts in the UK are still digging out from under their own infestations, and in the US, a county in Ohio, Licking County, is also dealing with ransomware that's locked them out of a number of services, including police and emergency responder systems. So it's a threat not to be taken lightly. If you're interested in a model of how to plan for recovery, take a look at the St. Louis, Missouri Library System, They were hit, but they recovered swiftly and without paying the ransom because they had a well-thought-out and well-executed backup system. Speaking of Missouri, the Show Me State's Gaming Commission has concluded that a Russian national, a fugitive from the law of averages and unnaturally lucky at slots, finagled some of the one-armed bandits. The caper happened in June 2014, but remains puzzling. Whatever they did gave them an implausibly high win rate on the slots. The Lumiere Place Casino noticed payouts on its machines running far higher than could be reasonably expected. Indeed, Wire reports the casino hadn't seen the likes of it before. So security investigated and reviewed surveillance footage of the casino floor. The cameras showed a 30-something dark-haired guy playing exclusively older slot machines manufactured by Aristocrat Leisure of Australia. Most slot cheats physically compromise the victim machines. Not so this guy. Since identified as one Murat Bliev, a Russian national employed allegedly by a St. Petersburg cyber criminal certificate. And note that this is St. Petersburg, Russia, not St. Petersburg, Florida. Shuffleboard players in the Sunshine State seem air-gapped against hacking, at least for now. How the scam worked isn't yet fully understood, but it may have gone something like this. Bliev would play, pushing buttons on games like Pelican Pete or Star Drifter, while holding his smartphone unusually close to the screen. The first attempts were normal, but he'd return in half an hour or so, play the machine, and win big, parlaying $20 or $60 into a reliable payout of $1,300. It appears that he was in touch with mathematicians in the home office who cracked the device's pseudo-random number generators. Bliev returned to Russia, but incautiously returned stateside, where he linked up with three fellow scammers. The quartet were arrested last month, the first three copying a plea, the last one using his status as a religious refugee to provide U.S. authorities with evidence. Those who've been in the industry for a while will recall the Slammer Worm, which enjoyed its heyday 14 years ago. According to Checkpoint, someone made a concerted attempt to revive Slammer at the end of 2016. We heard from Tripwire's Senior Director of Security, Lamar Bailey, who takes the opportunity to remind everyone that 0 days may get all the press, but your biggest threat probably comes through unpatched and known vulnerabilities. Quote, organizations spend millions on the latest greatest security products, but fail to fundamentally secure their network by just upgrading and patching old vulnerabilities. End quote. Patching, he says, is like locking your door. Criminals may still get in, but you haven't made it too easy for them. Norway's intelligence service continues to follow the tracks of Fancy Bear through foreign and defense ministry email servers. Fancy Bear, of course, is widely believed to be Russia's GRU. Elsewhere in the Russian intelligence and security services, Russian sources say the former and current FSB officers charged with treason were leaking to America and not necessarily the CIA. That will strike many as a distinction without a difference, since it's difficult, although not impossible, to imagine to whom else they might have been leaking. After all, it's unlikely to be the Small Business Administration, even under the leadership of World Wrestling Entertainment impresario Linda McMahon. Finally, the famously outspoken Ian Levy, technical director of the UK's National Cybersecurity Center, has told the security industry to knock off the FUD. He says they're peddling witchcraft, and not the good Hogwarts kind. There's no hint, however, that the NCSC is anticipating prosecution of threat researchers under the authority of the Witchcraft Act of 1735. So no worries, security industry. Our barristers have so far offered no legal opinion as to whether prosecution under the Fraudulent Medium Act of 1951 is similarly unlikely. Brexit makes action under the EU's consumer protection regulations a stretch, too. But we certainly wouldn't want to mess with Dr. Levy.
Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? a culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Marcus Roschecker. He's the Cybersecurity Program Manager at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Marcus, I saw that a group of lawmakers, actually a bipartisan group of lawmakers, have reintroduced the Email Privacy Act, which is has to do with email and having to get warrants before searching emails. Take us through this. What's going on here?
Yeah, this new bill seeks to really close a gap in an existing law. The existing law is the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which was passed all the way back in the 1980s. And it basically says that government does not need a warrant to search emails that are stored on an internet service provider's or a provider's servers if that email is older than 180 days. Of course, nowadays, most of us store all of our emails in the cloud. If we use a service like Google or Yahoo, we tend to just leave our emails up in the cloud, up with the email service provider, and never download them onto our computer, which means that government can read all of those private emails if they are older than 180 days without actually needing a warrant. So this is very concerning, and the bill that was introduced recently by lawmakers seeks to address that and basically asks that government does need to get a warrant before it can read, search through those emails, even if they're stored with the email service provider.
Yeah, it seems remarkable to me. I mean, you know, 6 months is, you're not allowed to come in my house and look through any of my papers that are older than 6 months old automatically. So, you know, this notion that at 6 months, my private emails just become available, that's news to me.
Yeah, it is concerning, but it kind of makes sense when you think about how the existing law came about. And like I said, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act was passed in the 80s, and in the 80s, email was handled very differently than it is today. So back then in the 80s, people would download emails that they would get sent to them. They would download those emails onto their computers, and government certainly needed a warrant. And still needs a warrant to search emails that are actually exclusively stored on one's computer. Now, of course, nowadays, people don't do that download anymore. So this Electronic Communications Privacy Act is a perfect example of how laws can become greatly outdated based on our advances in technology. This is an issue that is finding bipartisan support, because it just doesn't make any sense for a government to have that authority to search private emails. No one really wants that on either side of the aisle.
Can you just touch on that notion that, you know, back in the 80s, they considered that something left on the server that long was abandoned?
Yeah, so basically, back in the 80s, we expected users to download emails onto their computers when they received them. If users did not download emails onto their computers, then they were considered abandoned. It was considered that a user didn't have any interest in those emails anymore if they weren't downloaded. And therefore, the thought was that, you know, government really shouldn't be required to get a warrant to look at those abandoned emails.
Kind of like they don't need a warrant to look through my trash because it's considered something that I've thrown away.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.